For those who were listening over the last couple of days, I actually had to do some work over the weekend for one of our colleagues who got RSV. And I actually went through a comical exercise in trying to give you the full name of RSV. I won't be doing that again. But I did want to just really quickly look at RSV, because we've got the flu. We know about COVID. We're being told to get flu shots. You can get shots for RSV as well, but they cost a lot of money. And RSV is something that certainly I contracted about 18 months ago, and it knocks you for six. It's a respiratory thing that really hits you hard. So I thought I'd have a chat about all of this in terms of what you should and shouldn't be doing at the moment, particularly through the prism of RSV. I will mention that I've had a few tests in the last few days because, like a lot of people, I've got a bit, probably what's the common cold, and I wondered whether it's going to develop into RSV, and my tests all say it's negative. So this is a conversation I had about all of this, a little bit of a primer to find out what it's all about with Dr. Nicole Higgins, who's the president of the Royal Australian College of General Practice.
Good evening, and I hope you're feeling better.
Well, yeah, I'm okay. We've all got this bug that's going around. I'm assuming it's not RSV because I've been doing the test every day, but RSV can be very, very serious. So just explain what it is.
Yeah, so RSV is a virus, or respiratory syncytial virus, if you want the big name, and it can make people really crook, especially our babies and our older people. But, you know, as a grown-up, it can really knock us around and cause a runny nose, sore throat, and a cough that hangs around for a long time.
Yeah, it does hang around for a while from my experience. That tightens the chest as well, and it lingers for weeks and weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, up to 4 to 6 weeks. And the biggest problem really is with our babies. It's one of the biggest causes for children going into hospital with respiratory infections, and it can cause bronchiolitis and bronchitis and pneumonia.
Yeah, so it is very contagious. And so if you're going to be with someone or near someone who might then be in the presence of babies, that could be very serious.
Yeah, it can be. And as you said, it's really contagious. So easily spread through coughing or sneezing, and you can get it on surfaces. And it's one of those things. People go, oh, is it a cold? Is it something more? If you've got a runny nose or a cough or not feeling well, we do advise you to stay away from babies and older people.
Because we've gone through the COVID thing, so you can get a sniffle. You think, all right, it could be COVID. Could be flu, could be RSV. The early signs of all of those are largely similar, aren't they? And you could include in that what we might call the common cold.
You can indeed. And the thing is, we don't know. And, you know, as patients, it's a bit hard to pick which one it is. So that's why we say if you're feeling crook, stay home, don't go out, because it's so easily spread. And the consequences can be really serious for people.
Just on this, because I know there is a vaccine for it. For most people, it's very expensive. I think vulnerable Australians can get it, babies and eligible adults, but you've got to pay for it, do you?
Yeah, that's right. So it also depends which state you're in as well. It's quite variable. So some of our states have started vaccinating new babies, newborns, and our kids under two. And there's also a vaccine available, but you have to pay for it privately for our older people.
Yeah, that's about $300, though. I think roughly in that ballpark, isn't it? $300?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, $300 is, you know, it is a lot of money. But when you've had RSV and it's a really common infection, it knocks you around. And if it's going to, you know, put you in hospital, for some people that is a good investment, but at the moment it's not on the public purse. We have to pay for it.
All right, what about the flu then? Because we're getting into the flu season. I think flu numbers are low at the moment, but this is the time we should be getting the vaccine for the flu.
Absolutely, and it's rolled out through GP surgeries and pharmacies now. And influenza is still one of you know, biggest killers of infectious diseases. So we really need people to still get vaccinated against the flu and make sure, you know, it's not just about protecting you, but it's about protecting your grandma and small children as well.
So with the flu vaccine, obviously you can get it. It's available as a program. Just back to RSV, though, where, of course, it can be quite debilitating, particularly for much older people if their conditions are fragile. I got a text from someone who said he's 80. His doctor said, look, you really should get it. Find the money and do it, which he did. But if you can't find the money, there's not much you can do, is there?
No, and you're right. For older people, they do have to pay for it. At the moment, it is, as I said, it's variable amongst states who's starting to vaccinate babies, so WA and Queensland, and also now New South Wales for our vulnerable kids. But for adults at risk, they have to pay for it themselves.
Yeah, and with the flu vaccine, are we seeing any reluctance for people to get vaccinated after what happened during COVID? There was obviously an issue in terms of booster shots. People were raising questions about the vaccines, the different strands of vaccines. Have you noticed anything in terms of people being reluctant to have their flu shot who may have been willing to do it before?
Yeah, so the first thing is flu shot's just a one-off shot. The problem is flu changes from year to year, and that's why we've got to keep having a new one every year. The thing is, people, there is a bit of vaccine fatigue, and I understand that, but it's the one thing that you can do that takes 15 minutes, it's free, that will stop you potentially getting very, very sick, ending up in hospital and potentially dying.
But with the flu shot, it doesn't cover the RSV. So at the moment, I mean, one day we might have something covers everything, but at the moment you get the flu shot, you can access it. You can ask for the RSV shot, but you do have to pay for it.
That's correct for adults, and they can be given at the same time. And for those who also are due to get their COVID vaccine, that can also be given at the same time. So it is a bit confusing for everyone, but these are things that are very preventable but can make you very unwell.
Yeah. The flu and the RSV can floor you, can't they? They really can.
Oh, look, they can. And look, I've got a daughter at home who's unwell at the moment. And, you know, it puts people in hospital. But, you know, as a parent or as, you know, a worker, there's a week or two that you have to take off work. And it's really important that if you want to, it can be prevented. But the flu vaccine is an absolute essential, and the RSV is an optional extra if you can.
Okay, and just a final one, because I mentioned this earlier, that I'm feeling a bit off. I'm checking every day. I've got a little bit of a coldy feeling. I'm assuming it's kind of a head cold or just fatigue, whatever it might be. We talk about the usual common cold. What do we describe that as?
So that is also a virus, and it's often something called a rhinovirus, so rhino meaning nose, and there's another one called adenovirus, and they're all doing the rounds at the moment with a few others. It's really hard to know which ones they are unless you do a swab. General rule of thumb, though, if you're feeling a bit crappy and, you know, runny nose and a bit of a cough, stay at home, or if you're out and about, put a mask on, good hand hygiene, and stay away from grandma and small babies.
Well, exactly. And I've got two different people in my life. One of them says you smash it with vitamin C. Thoughts on that?
So when we're talking about evidence, the best evidence is to actually avoid it in the first place.
Yeah. And avoid the virus. By washing your hands and doing all of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and make sure that your immune system is as good as it can be, and that is eating well and, you know, looking after yourself. There's lots of things such as horseradish, garlic, etc.
Well, I can ask you, because you sound to me like you're not really a fan of smashing it with vitamin C. Can I do the other one? I've got another mate who spends a fair bit of each winter on his own, because he recommends smashing any early sign with garlic. So he takes a whole heap of garlic. Honestly, even flies and insects avoid him. He's just, you know, it's quite incredible. Your thoughts on that one? He reckons it works.
The thing is, the virus will take its own time to work its way through your system, and it does make us feel better when we throw, whether it be garlic, chicken soup, all that makes it feel better, but it will only shorten it, but yeah, by a very small amount.
So my theory that he's got to the point where even the virus is thinking, this is too much for me, and it departs.
Well, even better if everyone's avoiding him because he smells, you're not going to get crooked. So it works.
Yeah, that's very good. All right. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks.
There you go. That's Nicole Higgins, who's the president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. You don't need to do it. I can tell you, if you smash up enough garlic cloves and then you sort of put them into water and just drink it really quickly to get as many of them into you as possible, by lunchtime the next day, you'll be able to stink out a room. It'll just comes out of your pores. It's quite remarkable. Anyway, there you go. I'm just letting you know, if someone gives you that advice, that's what you have to go through.